Okay, Jack.
Hey, good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks with the Wall Street Reporter, and today I'm speaking with Ken Lamb. He's the CEO of Cyan Holdings PLC, which trades on the London market. The stock symbol is CYAN. Good afternoon, Ken.
Oh, good afternoon, Jack. I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. Obviously, you've seen the announcement that we made earlier on this week, last week, related to a partnership with Future Electronics. This is a very exciting development for Cyan as a relatively small semiconductor vendor to have one of the top three global distribution companies take us on as a franchise and on a global basis. It's an enormous step for the business in giving us access to markets and working through the Future Electronics global organization.
Okay. What kind of impact do you think that will have on your company's growth?
Well, with a technology company, you first of all start off developing the technology and convincing yourself that it works and it's got value. You then often struggle to find markets in which you can deploy that. And then you find yourself with products that people want to buy, you can make decent margins on, and all of a sudden you can see that there's a real growth opportunity for the business. And then you can hit a wall because you've now got to invest to scale it. And this is why this is such a significant announcement. Future Electronics, they pride themselves on their ability to generate demand, to do local support, and then, of course, they'll do the fulfillment. And these guys work out of 169 offices in 41 countries. Now, if I were to try to invest and build such an organization organically, that would take me years. Whereas Future are established, they have relationships with our target customers, they understand our product. It's absolutely huge for us to be able to step out on a global basis in such a short time frame.
All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about Cyan's technology platform and some of the applications where customers might see you.
Sure. Well, I've been with Cyan for 2 years now, where the company's been around in the AIM market for a lot longer. And it started with the basic semiconductor technology, a chip, a microcontroller, one of the most common, most ubiquitous chips on the face of the planet, with lots of large established vendors out there. The value that Cyan had is they were able to displace other components, reduce the bill of materials. The fundamental value is a value proposition. But the problem the company had was it was requiring the customer to realize that value. What we've done over the last 2 years is develop a series of products. The common theme is the ability to operate wirelessly. It's radio control for all sorts of industrial applications. And we operate in all of the licensed or unlicensed frequency bands over the world. And the markets that we've gone into are global and growing very fast. They're primarily metering. You hear a lot about smart metering these days, but actually there's a whole series of variations where people try and manage demand, particularly in areas where, say, water is scarce, electricity generation is limited. And the second area is very much on the green agenda, which is addressing lighting control, particularly street lighting, and with the ability to dim or turn off selected lights, really significant energy savings can be realized. And Cyan now has deployed a range of production-ready products. We leverage our value proposition by reducing the bill of materials. These are very low-cost products, but they can be deployed immediately into these applications. So an end customer would simply be looking to interface our module into their existing meter, and then they'll be able to wirelessly access and read that meter or even remotely control that meter. And the same applies for lighting and street lighting.
Okay. To get an understanding, maybe let's say for a lot of investors who may not be that familiar with Cyan, essentially it's a a metering technology that you have?
We have a basic microcontroller device, which is the intelligent part of any of these systems. And we can do a lot more on our microcontroller. Competitors typically require two microcontrollers, one to drive the meter, the other to drive the wireless communication. We do both of those functions with a single microcontroller. We've leveraged the expertise of our design team to do that on very, very cheap semiconductor technology. We're a long way from state of the art, and that means we're a long way from the very high cost that is a fact of life for fabless semiconductor businesses at the leading edge today. We're quite content to work on older technologies, which, if you pardon the pun, are as cheap as chips. But by leveraging the skill of the design team, we're able to do much more with those devices, and more importantly, do with one device what competitors need two. And that gives us a big cost advantage.
Okay. So you mentioned, I think, two applications. What are some of the big picture in terms of what are some of the other applications and the market potential for your?
Well, the big picture for lighting is we as a planet have a problem with the amount of energy we're consuming and the carbon footprint. And there are some things that we're doing when you look back at them. You'd sort of ask, well, why? Street lights are on all night. Does that make sense? Is that a sensible use of energy? If you dim the lights during the small hours of the morning, or if you turn the lights on and off according to movement, or if you switched off a diagonal pattern of lights, you could save significant amounts of energy. That's got a direct cost benefit. The problem is you'd have to go back and physically wire connections to these lights. So what Cyan has is a very low-cost module which you just insert into the light itself, and that will allow you to remotely dim and or switch off the lights. It actually will report back and say whether it's functioning correctly, whether it needs maintenance. The world is moving to LED as being a lower power option for lighting, and we've produced a range of products which allow you to remotely dim LED lights. That actually provides even greater power savings.
And again, remotely, you mean wirelessly, right?
Wirelessly, but we do everything. So we will provide the module that goes into the light that actually does the dimming, the intelligent control. It will then form a network with whatever other lights are around in the area, connect to what we call a gateway, which allows you to use the mobile phone system in that country to communicate with that group of lights, and report back to an application running on the end user's PC, which allows them to monitor individual lights and to control those lights, and the lights will tell them if they've failed and you need to send the maintenance guy out.
Okay. And now, what is this device sell for?
Well, the controllers, our typical controller is about a $10 product. So if you multiply that by the hundreds of millions of streetlights that are out there, it is a very significant market. Similarly for meters, a domestic residents will have a water meter, a gas meter, an electricity meter. And ultimately, all of these will be read remotely. There's a lot in the press about trying to modify behavior by billing according to the time of day. And this will actually happen. But what's driving the metering market for Cyan is where there's actually limits on the amount of the particular utility product available. You know, water is a good example of this. If you've got a limited amount of water and you have the ability to control when meters are switched on and off, to be fair, that's very much according to whether or not the end user has paid their bill. In electricity generation, if you're able to put all your air conditioning on a secondary meter and then remotely switch that off with a radio signal, then you can actually manage the electricity demand to match your generating capacity. So there are a whole range of smart metering demand control systems that are deployed on a global basis at the moment, which are enabled by our technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How big do you see how big is the market opportunity in let's say dollar terms for this platform?
The numbers get silly. It's difficult to actually put a credible number as to how big the market is and the market share Cyan can get. But we've got multiple customers who are currently trialing our products who install 1 million meters a year. They've had a track record of doing that, and they want to add wireless control to it. The street lighting market is something that is very much a retrofit. In Europe, street lights are not monitored. They're not metered, so you don't know how much power they're actually using. If you knew, then you could pay a more appropriate sum. But actually, the maintenance cost is higher than the power costs. So the ability to know which lamp to go out to repair gives you significant maintenance savings.
Okay. And how is the competitive landscape in this?
Well, there are two advantages that Cyan has, and these are very significant advantages. First of all, cost. Because we displace other components, we do have the lowest cost solution. And that's got a knock-on benefit of reducing the power consumption. For gas and water meters, there is no immediate power. They ran off batteries. So those are two big advantages. The second is actually a software application. We make our products easy to use. They work out of the box. They form a very sophisticated, what's called a mesh network, where you can go long distances by hopping between intermediate nodes, but the system is entirely self-forming and self-healing. We've spent a couple of years developing this software and trialing it, and it's proving extremely popular in China, and because we own this protocol, we're able to port it very easily to all the different frequency bands around the world. So we can come up with one basic product using our basic microcontroller. We can use RF from different partner suppliers and run exactly the same networking software. So this allows us to scale our product into different markets in different parts of the world very quickly. And again, is why the relationship with Future Electronics is so important, because we can give them a very strong range of products which they can immediately deploy through all the different countries, the 41 countries in which they have offices.
Okay, so Future Electronics is actually going to be the distributor, selling this metering technology, then.
They will go out and generate demand for us by finding customers. They will support those customers locally. They'll do all the fulfillment for us, and obviously they do all of the invoicing and chasing payments. So that's what I like about a fabless semiconductor business. You outsource the manufacturing. You don't have to invest to build your own manufacturing capability. The more you build, the better pricing you get, the better service you get. And then similarly, for the sales and marketing, you can outsource that. But it typically takes a while for a new fabless semiconductor vendor to get the attention of the really big distributors. And that's why it's so exciting that at such an early stage, Future Electronics has recognized the benefits of the Cyan products and has taken on a global franchise and is very actively generating leads and opportunities for us.
Okay. So essentially, Cyan is a relatively, relatively young company, and so this is a really. Would you say that this is like the inflection point here, where you can start seeing?
Yes, Cyan is a young company in terms of revenues. Our revenue track record has been poor. The reason for that is the company had got good technology, but hadn't worked out how to apply it. So I was asked to join the business just over 2 years ago, and in that period of time, we have developed all of the products that I've described, products that realize the value proposition inherent in the technology, and we've now managed to deploy that into early customers, multiple field trials going on in many different geographies, America, South Africa, India, China, major market for these technologies. And on the back of those engagements and those products, we've managed to secure this global distribution agreement with Future.
Okay. What What is your background? You can share your background and some of the key members of your team.
Okay, well, the team here are good old design engineers. My background is in startup companies, primarily from the VC backing. I was part of the executive team that floated Arc International back in 2000. That was a very successful London LSE float. I've worked for semiconductor companies in Silicon Valley in North America, and I've run companies over Europe in various parts or in various fabulous semiconductor models. So what Cyan is doing is very familiar to me, and I was able to immediately see the value of this technology. The last company I worked with, we sold to Matsushita in Japan, which was an interesting exercise. The Japanese buy very few semiconductor companies, but they saw the value in that company's technology and bought us.
Okay. Now, Ken, what do you see for the future of Cyan? What will the company look like 3 years from now, assuming everything goes according to plan?
If things go according to plan, Cyan is going to go through a very rapid growth phase in terms of the revenue generation, growth that will cause me working capital concerns. Now, that's one of the things that the market always says is very easy to address, but that currently is my challenge. A small percentage of the opportunities we're facing could grow so fast that it will cause working capital concerns for us. The goal for the business is to become a established and significant vendor into the smart metering and lighting control markets on a global basis. To do that, we have to continue to invest in further development of our microcontroller products. And what we'll be doing is to seek to displace more of the components that are required to make a complete solution to get closer and closer to becoming a single chip. This is a traditional fabless semiconductor model. It works well. It's made a lot of money for many shareholders through other businesses over the years, and I'm looking forward to Cyan being a recognized name in the market for having achieved exactly the same thing.
What kind of revenues could you see looking forward, 2-3 years from now?
Well, there are 200 million streetlights in China, and if you assume you can get a product down to a very low cost, let's go out several years, maybe $5, you can still do the math and see the size of that market in just one country. Now, there is a pressure now on a global basis to address this street lighting. So the numbers could be huge. It's very difficult for me to sit here now and say we will achieve this percentage. But the ability for Cyan to transform into a fast-growing, very profitable business is there before us now. We have the products, we have the markets, we have the channel. As you said yourself, this is the inflection point for the business.
So essentially, Cyan's core competencies in the smart metering business.
Our core competency is coming up with a very low-cost microcontroller that will do all of the metering and the wireless communication functions. That gives you a lower power, a lower cost solution, and something that's easy to deploy. And for markets which don't really have a history of experience working in wireless, when have you seen anything wireless related with a streetlight? Metering, people have been talking about it, but these industries traditionally don't have that experience. To have a product that just works out of the box, that gives you a reduced cost for your solution you can deploy, is a very attractive model for these companies. So we're finding more and more of them are finding their way to us. That's accelerating through the relationship with Future.
Okay. What is this smart metering market like globally? Like, what is the how many companies are, how big is the market, and like how many other companies are in this space?
Well, smart metering started off with the industrial users, but it's rapidly moving into ordinary residential consumers. And typically, a consumer will have two or three meters. They'll have a gas meter, an electricity meter, and a water meter. So, you know, multiply that by the number of households. I'll give you the UK figures. There are 26 million households in the UK. I don't see the UK as a market that's going to deploy that quickly. But you move out into some of the Asian markets, and they're deploying very, very quickly. India, with electricity meters, their ability to read those meters wirelessly is something that they're trying to deploy very quickly. I don't know the statistics for India. It has to be hundreds of millions of meters. So these are amongst the largest markets out there. If you look at the footprint for mobile phones, how many mobile phones are there per household? Well, they're at the point where it's probably two or three right now on average in Western countries, and that's actually the same density as meters. So you're staring at a market potentially the same size.
That's interesting because, meters, you know, it seems like it's a very mundane thing, but it's something which is really pervasive, and it's a huge market.
It is a huge market. Electricity generation, the cost and the efficiency varies according to the time of day. Lunchtime is the most inefficient period. You tend to stop for lunch, turn the kettle or the coffee machine on, and that creates an enormous surge in demand, which the generating companies struggle to meet, and they're forced to either buy electricity, which is always going to be inefficient, or switch on their less efficient generating capacity. If they could somehow modify your behavior so that you didn't switch on at lunchtime, and the obvious way to do that is by price variation. You can't price according to time of day unless you can measure the usage according to time of day, and the way you do that is by upgrading your meter to a wireless meter. So actually the economics work quite well. If you want to offer a tariff to a customer where you can say, okay, if you change the time at which you switch on your domestic appliances, your washing machine, for example, to one of the more efficient generation periods, we will reward you with a lower cost tariff. And you can quite quickly work out that the potential savings for the consumer more than outweigh the cost of installing that smart meter over, you know, maybe a 12 or an 18-month payback period. There's a lot of pressure from governments to do this, trying to meet their carbon footprint targets. So they're trying to incentivize utility companies to do this. There's a lot of pressure to actually install these sort of systems, and I feel very privileged to have a product that is benefiting from that sort of governmental pressure.
Right. No, it's quite interesting that you know, you're sort of you have this sort of the winds are coming into your sails here with this, you know, obviously we have the environmental agendas and this, you know, need for, you know, greater efficiency in both electricity and water, especially in countries like you mentioned, like India and China, which obviously need to manage their resources there. What do you see as some of the key milestones that maybe investors can track over the next 12 months? Like what are some of the key events that people could look forward to?
Well, what we're expecting now is to start seeing a sequence of announcements of customers who have completed their field trials and have given us a contract for deployment over an extended period of time. We will start off with lighting and gas metering. We'll then move on to electricity meters and gradually move around the world. I'm already very impressed with the number of global geographies in which we're currently engaged. The 2010 period is going to be the period of rapid revenue growth for Cyan. What I think you'll then start seeing is the market becoming much more sophisticated in the sort of features that they require. You'll start seeing Cyan moving deeper into the meters, where we're effectively doing all of the electronics within the meter themselves, rather than just adding on a wireless capability. We're already doing this with some customers in China, and that further increases the value proposition for the business.
Okay, so in other words, I guess investors could look forward to a series of announcements regarding the deployments and customer trials coming up over the next several months.
Yes, that's correct. And probably new partners who decide that they will adopt Cyan's technology for their end product. And obviously we'll be looking for partners who are well established in particular markets.
Okay. Now, Ken, in your opinion, does the investor community completely understand Cyan's investment story? And if not, what is it that they're missing that...
So that's a very good question, Jack. Cyan came to market, and I'll be very frank, too early. It came when it had a technology, but it had not actually developed that technology in a form that customers wanted to buy. So we have some patient, but patience wearing thin investor base who've been watching Cyan fail to get the revenue growth. Over the last 2 years, we've successfully recapitalized the company. We've invested in developing new products. And those new shareholders have got a very clear understanding of what we've done to transform this business. But that message is not generally known out on the markets. And anyone looking at Cyan's track record will see a pretty lackluster performance. From what you've heard now, you can probably recognize that I'm expecting that to change quite significantly over the course of the next few quarters and certainly through 2010. But I don't think that is generally understood in the market.
Uh-huh. Okay, so essentially, Cyan came sort of the promise is basically, are you saying that the promise is now being fulfilled?
Yes, the technology the company had always had the promise of generating high revenues by reducing the bill of materials, the cost of the end product. The company launched on the assumption that the customers be willing to do that work themselves. I'm afraid that was a misplaced assumption. We've now developed products that realize that inherent capability that was always there in the technology, and we've now demonstrated that customers want to buy these products, and we've targeted them into two very fast-growing global markets, and on the back of the promise of those products, we've secured a global distribution agreement with one of the three largest electronic component distributors in the world. That is a transformational stage for this company.
All right. Now, let's summarize. What would you say would be the key reasons that investors should consider your stock today?
Well, I think they should look at the market cap of the company and ask themselves whether that really reflects the opportunity that the company now has based upon the products and the markets that we are addressing.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, good, Ken. I'm sure our audience looks forward to following some of your announcements in the months ahead.
I'm looking forward to the development. We're entering a very exciting time now. A lot of hard work, but we're looking forward to seeing the results. And as I say, my concern is just how fast this could grow.